Prabhar, good morning.
Hi, Sean.
Thanks very much for joining us on the program. First of all, can you explain to us the situation that Mr. Choi currently is facing? I mean, we know there hasn't been actual charges, but what he's actually being accused of.
Okay, yeah. He was arrested in December last year, and he's been in jail for nearly a year. He has not been convicted of any offence. There's actually are charges against him. Currently, his legal case is at the stage where he's got to put in a plea soon. So he's been denied a lot of the rights that should be available to prisoners. For example, even his own son has not been able to visit him. They've made visits to him very difficult. In the first 50 days, no one, including lawyers, were able to visit him. More recently, his current lawyers were denied access. They were told they had to first get a security clearance. Now, because there's been more exposure of his case by his supporters, some of these conditions, these harsh conditions, have been eased somewhat, and his lawyers are now able to visit.
Now, you're quite right. I misspoke in saying he's not been convicted of anything, but in terms of those charges accused, what he's actually been accused of, what is the Australian government claiming?
Well, they're saying that he broke the United Nations sanctions against North Korea. So he helped, what they're accusing him of is that he helped North Korea sell its produce, not within Australia, but to third countries, produce like graphite, coal, manufactured items, and so on. So these sanctions on North Korea are extremely harsh. They now ban almost 90% of North Korea's exports. So what his motivation was twofold. Firstly, he's a humanitarian. So he is concerned about the suffering the sanctions have caused. In Iraq, similar sanctions imposed on Iraq from 1990 onwards caused the death of 500,000 Iraqi children in their first 8 years of implementation. Now, those figures come from the United Nations' own body, UNICEF. The sanctions have not caused the same carnage in North Korea because North Korea's system is able to distribute the goods better, but it still caused an enormous suffering, and he's seen that firsthand. Secondly, his political views, he's a socialist, he's a left-winger, and he's sympathetic to North Korea and his system, so he's doing this out of political conviction. Now, we're not saying that the charges are true because this is just what they accuse him of. He's known as a sympathizer of North Korea, and it could be just that he's being charged because of his political views. But even if the charges are true, then he's done nothing wrong from the point of view of those who stand up for justice, because in that case, he's been a brave humanitarian trying to free a people oppressed by very cruel sanctions, and he stood up for a country with a non-capitalist system.
Well, without arguing the morality of the actual United Nations, the United Nations sanctions that have been put on North Korea itself, how does the Australian government justify holding an Australian citizen without conviction, without parole, without the access that he hasn't had to his lawyers and to his family for such a long period of time?
Yeah, it's very harsh, the conditions they've imposed on him. Now, one thing they've done is they've classified him under special category of prisoner, the highest category of prisoner that is normally only given to mafia bosses and terror suspects. Even though Chan Han Choi is not even accused of doing anything or planning anything violent, he's not even accused of spying or any mafia activities. He's only accused of carrying out trade that they deem illegal. So through this classification, it's very hard to visit him. So the people who have visited him have had to go through a security clearance, and they've had to wait between 4 and 5 months to visit him. So when they visited him in July or August, he had received no visits for 5 months. And another thing they're doing to isolate him is they're insisting that he speak in English in his phone calls. Now, his wife is not fluent in English, and his English is not that great either. But they insist that they speak in English, not Korean. So what happens is if they accidentally slip up and say a word in Korean or two, because they're trying to get their message across to each other, a prison guard is waiting and simply cuts the line.
Why have we seen so little coverage of this one in the media or by any other sources?
Yeah, so when he was first arrested in December, there was a lot of hype in the media, and the Prime Minister spoke on it and so on. But afterwards, I think the media realized they've got a bit of a quandary here, because they were hyping up the case, but then they'd realize people would start asking, why would an Australian citizen who's lived here for 30 years and was born in South Korea and lived there for 30 years, why would he want to support North Korea? Now, the media have tended to demonize North Korea as this country that no one supports and its own people don't like. But here we have someone who's lived in Australia, who's seen life in Australia for 30 years, and still is sympathetic to North Korea. And I think they're worried this would open up a can of worms. For example, it would show that there's actually a percentage of the Korean community in Australia that is actually sympathetic to North Korea. And there's also many people in South Korea itself who are also sympathetic to the North, because they see it as a fairer country that is truly independent and not simply a puppet of the US, that is more, that guarantees jobs for all, is kind of more kind and less cutthroat. So that's one reason. But I should say there has been a fair bit of coverage about his case in the Korean language Australian media. So recently, the main Korean language newspaper in Australia called Hanho Daily ran a very sympathetic front page article on Chen Hanchoi, saying that his human rights were being violated and that he was a political prisoner. And other Korean media have in Australia have copied that story. But the local media has said very little. But it is possible that as his case progresses, there will be a new media hype around the case.
Well, Prabhat, thank you very much. Do appreciate getting you on and having a little bit of a chat about this one this morning, because it is quite a concerning one.
Yeah, very, very. And the thing about it is, they're, at the moment, they're persecuting Chan Hanchoi, but there's a lot of attacks being done to the right to dissent in Australia. And yesterday we had the new laws against encryption. There's been the Foreign Interference Bill, which also takes away people's rights. There's anti-strike laws. There's new laws against the right to protest in New South Wales. And this persecution of Chan Hanchoi should be seen in that context.
Well, Prabhat, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Sean.